What day was that again, Lynn? I don't remember what day it was, but I remember what it was. 1969, July 20th, right? Yeah. My dad had a guy he went to high school with, boyhood friends, who became an engineer and was designed electrical systems for NASA. And so it so happens that we were in San Francisco visiting his family when that moon launch landed. And so we were on Fisherman's Wharf with a television wired into the trunk of a 1968 Ford Galaxy. And that was pretty amazing. We were way ahead technologically. Well, Dick was way ahead of his time. He came up, spent some time at my dad's place, brought his trailer up and camped there by the truck shop. And one of the mechanics, he came in and he was talking to this mechanic, Dave Galloway. So Dave says, "So Dick, what do you do?" And he says, "I'm an engineer." Dave says, "So you drive a train?" He didn't think that was that funny. but we kind of did. Matthew chapter 8, 25 to 27. You don't have to turn there. I'm not going to turn there. But to remember that passage, fishermen were on an ocean. And the storm got so bad that they thought they were going to die. That's some rough water. That's some rough water. I mean, these are guys who, they made their living out there, and they thought they were going to die. And time to time in life, waters can get a little rough. And maybe we're in one of those times now. Maybe. Just maybe. This isn't the first rough stretch in my life, nor probably in yours. There are all kinds of difficult things that happen. Sometimes they're national or worldwide like this, and we haven't seen many of these in my lifetime. But Barbara Higgins' son-in-law, Simon, they just found out he had cancer and he had surgery. And he's on a respirator and he hasn't, I mean, they don't know. And they couldn't get the cancer. Well, that's a whole nother kind of stormy sea, you know, that maybe rises in their lives to the top of the list at this. Let's pray for them right now. Lord, we pray for Simon and for Barbara and her family. Lord, it's in your hands, of course, in the hands of medical technicians, doctors and nurses and so on. Lord, and we just trust you with that. We ask you to help them through every step. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, you heard this before, that perhaps, that as Christians, we have dual citizenship. I read a little article about the dual citizenship, which I didn't bring with me. So we might as well just go home. Well, I'll just say three things, and there are verses to back this up, but we are citizens. If we are Christians, we are citizens of heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says we are citizens of heaven. Many other verses that give us that same idea. But also we are citizens of, if we live in this country, the United States of America. If we live in another country, then we would be citizens of that country. So dual citizenship, which is a little different than just, you know, some people like just want to be Christian and not have any civic responsibilities. Just spiritual responsibilities, no civic responsibilities. But that's not the way God set it up. And some people just are focused on civic responsibilities and either don't have or think about or care about citizenship in heaven. And so we are citizens of both, but they aren't equal. We live out those citizenships simultaneously, but not they don't carry the same weight as the as each other. Our first responsibility is to God. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's my first responsibility. But the Bible says I have responsibilities. God says I have responsibilities here. It says, submit to your governing authorities. So why did I wear a mask today? Well, several reasons. Because I like masks. That's not one of them. Our governor says we should wear masks, and she believes, her health advisors believe it will help some people to stay healthier. So, okay, well, she said to do it. Okay. You know, and some people won't come to church if we don't wear masks. I'd wear a mask just so somebody can come to church. You know, of course, some people don't come to church because we wear masks. You know, so I guess everybody has to decide about that. So I'd do it that. And, you know, I really don't want to be responsible for someone getting sick. I'll tell you, I was in one of those days. Do you have one of those days where you just, God, I don't know why I have to do this stuff, you know? So I was talking to my mom on the phone. And when you grouse to somebody, you really appreciate it if they take your side, right? I was grousing to my mom on the phone, and I says, you know, this is a stretch, you know. And my mom said, well, you know, both of your granddads refused to wear seatbelts because nobody could tell them they had to wear a seatbelt. And she says, then they did start wearing them because they might get a ticket. She said, but they groused about it to the grave. You know, and I'm like, yeah, thanks, Mom. I used to call her every week, not so much anymore. She's watching, so maybe not. Maybe not anymore. So, and then so I was talking to my oldest son on the phone, and he works for ODOT, and so they have to wear face masks, and some situations seem a bit of a stretch, you know, and he's not really that keen on it. And so I thought, well, I'll get some sympathy from him, right? And so I was like, yeah, and Brian said, well, Dad, you know, really, if you keep some little old man or little old woman from dying, he said, is wearing a mask for an hour really that bad? And I'm like, so I really cut down my phone call list quite a bit. You know, but and of course, we get all fraught up about this, and I thought about this. Is mask really that big a deal? That I want to spend hours of my day worrying about it? You know, and there are other issues that we worry about, freedoms and some of those kind of things, you know. But there is, you know, we're responsible, Jesus said, Paul said, to submit to governing authorities. Jesus said, pay tax, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, to God what it is God's, right? So pay taxes, that kind of thing. Well, there's another thing with the submit to governing authorities. What we see this in the New Testament. We see civil disobedience. We see in the New Testament Peter and Paul saying, they said, don't speak about Jesus anymore. And Peter and Paul said, well, you decide what you're going to have to do But we have to speak about Jesus. That's civil disobedience. We're going to go ahead and do it because we think it's what God wants us to do. And so you do what you have to do. What I don't find in the New Testament, is uncivil disobedience. I don't find that. We have to think about that. Now, is there a time to protect ourselves and that? Yeah, I get it. But we don't find it there. We don't find it justified to say, I'm going to take up my arms and you're not going to make me do it. So there's some things to think about there. That's the best I can do without having that paper in front of me. Just some things to think about. That my first allegiance is to God, but I live in this country. And so as a citizen, I want to be a good citizen. If there is something that the civil authorities ask me to do that causes me to turn away from God, to not practice my faith, to do those kind of things, then what we find in the New Testament is civil disobedience. I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and pray, or whatever it might be. And those are individual decisions, and we have among us different views on those decisions. So I just want to talk about that for a minute this morning. And then I wanted to take a quick look at these three verses, kind of a totally different track. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I better read it because I left a verse out. Come to me all... I did read the whole thing. So why this passage today on 4th of July? Well, this is what I was thinking. If I have dual citizenship and if I represent God, if I represent Jesus while I'm walking this earth, then there are certain ways that I should conduct myself. Ways that represent God. And then I thought, it's hard to do that when I'm all wrought up. And I don't know about you guys, but it's pretty easy to get all wrought up right now. I mean, actually, I think everybody's goal is to wrought us up. If that's the term, you know? And so we all backed into corners, wrought up at each other. I've never seen so much hate, anger, dissension among people. And it's easy to get caught up in. And our news medias feed it. And Facebook feeds it. And almost everything we talk about feeds it. I'm not saying we shouldn't have opinions and sides and that kind of thing. We should. And we should be able to stand for those things. But I thought, listen to what Jesus says. A way to help. I thought this might be a way to help maintain some semblance of Christian character. Well, first thing Jesus said is all you who are weary and burdened. Everybody who's weary and burdened. Well, there's a lot of different ways to be weary and burdened. I don't know about you. I'm weary and burdened. I think I told somebody the other day, this stretch is the most difficult time of my 40 years or whatever it is of ministry. Everything seems so much more intense. Everything seems so much more important. Everything, you know, I used to preach a sermon and said, that'll be okay. Now I think, well, is that right? Well, you know, and you got to be so careful what you say. All this stuff. And I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. And I don't think it's just me. I think our world is just all tied up in knots in a lot of ways. Well, that's weary and burdened. That's weary and burdened. Jesus said, all you who are weary and burdened, come to me. By the way, if you think there's going to be some spectacular thing here, no, just some stuff to think about. Come to me, Jesus said. What does that mean? You hear that? Come to Jesus. What does that mean? Well, we come to Jesus for salvation. Sometimes we think coming to church is coming to Jesus. Coming to church isn't coming to Jesus. We can come to church is a way we can come to Jesus, but if we just go to church, we're just going to church, you know? Or to get religion. Come to Jesus isn't the same as come to religion. Religion is a formal way of believing, and even within Protestantism, different groups fight more than they love about how the right way to do it is. We're a world that loves to fight about who's right and who's wrong. And I kind of like it sometimes too. To come to Jesus means to trust Him for salvation. These three things, I think, to trust Him salvation. That means no matter what happens on this earth, it's possible that our world is going to change, our personal worlds are going to change in a way that we've never seen before. It's happened to other cultures. Happened to the Roman Empire. It happened to the British Empire. It happened to the Egyptians. It's happened. It could. I don't know if it will. I'm no prophet. I'm not going to predict it. But if it does, then I still got Jesus. Not just for salvation, but to trust to see me through. To see me through. To say, okay. Okay. And I think another, and the next thing we look at, we'll talk about this a little more, but when Jesus says, come to me, He says, follow me. Let me show you the right way to do these things. You know, we've all started jobs, new jobs, or our parents were training it, or somebody should say, here, let me show you how the best way to do this is. Let me show you how to handle this situation. Well, Jesus can do that for us. God's Word can do that for us. And so, even with this passage, Jesus says, okay, you're troubled. It's a hard life you're living. Trust me. But it's more than just saying, falling back in His arms kind of a thing. It's a, figure out the way that I say it's best to do something. Give it a try. It might work. Which, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I think for myself at least, and maybe for you, sometimes we need to back up before we move forward. Back up before we move forward and say, okay, Jesus, how would you like me to handle this situation? What is this? You know, I mean, there's some real basic, if you don't know any Bible at all except this, know that the two main things are love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so you say, this action I'm thinking about taking You know, that's a great thing to memorize, but this action that I think, well, whatever it is I'm thinking about, if I do that, will that be loving, honoring God with all my being? Will that action do that? Will God be there in heaven saying, nice, Dan, appreciate that. Way to go. Way to handle it. That's the way I wanted you to do it. I don't know how it was in the houses you grew up in. In the house I grew up in, when we did actions, it was a lot more comfortable for us if we did it the way Dad and Mom thought maybe we should. I mean, they may not be there looking over our shoulders, but I grew up in a small community. I mean, I grew up in such a small community that if you were on a road and cut a corner a little bit and met somebody, before you got home, in fact, I'll tell you a quick story. We were fishing. My brothers, we used to ride our bikes up and down Little Fall Creek, David and I, and a friend of ours, Kim Walsh. And when we'd ride up and down and fish. And we were fishing underneath Bass Grinders Bridge. And Merle Vassbinder, who was a younger guy, got up on the bridge and started throwing rocks in the river where we were fishing, which we didn't appreciate. Will, we used to fish there. We used to fish there. Will was one with us sometimes. And so my brother David grabbed a rock and chucked it at Merle Vassbinder and hit him in the head. Couldn't have been on purpose because he wasn't that good, I don't think. But he hit him in the head. And so we get on our bikes and head home to Kim's place, which was about 3 miles down the Fall Creek, Little Fall Creek. And we only got about halfway there, and Kim's mom came driving up in the car. And she stopped the car and she rolled down the window and she said, "Boys, the phone is faster than the bicycle." Just that's the way it was where I grew up. But so you really didn't want to do those things because you knew somebody. Well, it's that case. God, think about it, our actions, what we put on Facebook, what we say to people, how we handle discussions. All of those things, ask ourselves, is this the way God wants me to handle this? God doesn't want us to just sit in our closets, I don't think. So, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus told the parable where the Samaritan was the Jewish person's neighbor, right? And they were enemies. I mean, you talk about your racial tensions. They had their racial tensions. Jewish people walked around Samaria so that they wouldn't have to walked around the country so that they wouldn't have to rub elbows with a Samaritan. And Jesus said, that person is your neighbor. So who's your neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Everybody. Every person. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Treat them the way you would want to be treated. Now I'm going to step out of what Jesus said here, but I think he would, I think he would agree with this. That's pretty arrogant, isn't it? I think Jesus is going to agree with what I say right now. But I don't think loving your neighbor is breaking the law toward one person to show love to another. Loving your neighbor is equal to everybody. I mean, I've gotten big trouble for saying this. And maybe people don't understand it the way I mean it. But to God, all lives matter. Every life matters. Not all actions are okay to God. Not all actions are okay. That's in His Word, too. But every individual matters. So we learn. So, okay, God, is this respectful? Is it what you want? Is it show the proper love and respect for other people, these actions of mine? And we do the best we can with that. And then he gave a promise. I will give you rest. Verse 28, you will find rest for your souls. In 29, So I want to talk about rest for a minute. When you think of rest, what do you think? What comes to mind? What comes to mind when you come to rest? Think about rest, the idea of rest. In our culture, it actually, and if you read in Webster's, it's actually like a nap, a vacation, a day off, that kind of thing. In the Jewish culture, it had a little deeper meaning than that. A little deeper meaning. Genesis chapter 2, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had was been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. It was rest, like we think of it, but it was like an idea of completeness. Of completeness. Psalms 23:1, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Living Bible says, "If the Lord is my shepherd, I don't need anything." Rest is that kind of completeness. That kind of completeness, which is different than our culture, where we never think we have enough. There always has to be more. And so we have this sense of dissatisfaction all the time, because there's one more thing I need to do, or one more thing I need to have, or one more place I need to go. I don't think God's against doing and having and going within reason. So one more vacation, I'll be rested up. This is like, the Lord is my shepherd. I have this kind of rest. Everything I need. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Maybe I could have preached a sermon on this passage. I just want to read it to finish up. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now think about this. For every day, in every circumstance, in the middle of everywhere thing we're doing, it's the first thing, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because God is worthy. Because, you know, all of these things in the span of history are just a blip. They're pretty important to us because we're living right here, right now. But in the whole span of history and the whole span of eternity, and Dan Parks here in Prineville, Oregon, is just one drop in the bucket of this world. There are little things I can do to make a difference. But I can ruin my whole day and George's whole day and several other people's days getting all wrought up about things that I can't control. I can do what I can control, but not to lose perspective. So remember, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. And then he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So don't worry, pray. Don't worry, pray. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear. I'm pretty patriotic. I don't think this is a perfect country. But I've been in a lot of countries in the world between the Navy and Uganda trips and other things. And I haven't found a place I'd rather live. But I don't think it's perfect. But I am concerned. No country that's ever turned its back on God has ever survived, historically. Read through the Old Testament, they were like on a roller coaster. Worship God, be blessed by God, turn the backs on God. God say, have at it. They get tired of that, worship God. So I want to be the best citizen I can in this country, and I want to do all that I can to make it all that it can be. My little part. You know, I'm going to ad-lib just for a minute. Well, I've kind of been ad-libbing. In the passage, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but I think I will. In the passage, in chapter 11 of Matthew, just ahead, Jesus talks to two groups of people. One group of people, he says, John came and he was somber and he was serious and he was telling people to repent, and you said he was too serious. And then Jesus came and he was reaching out and offering grace and loving people and hanging out with people, and you said, he's just a party animal. You know what their problem was? They had critical spirits. They couldn't find any good. And that's destructive. There wasn't any middle ground. There wasn't any, well, how can we work this out together? How can we figure this out? It was black and white, or white and black. And I don't mean in racist ways. And then the next group of people he talked to, they were some cities that he said, if Sodom and Gomorrah had been blessed the way you were, they would have repented. They kind of skimmed the cream. They took the blessing, but didn't return it to God. You know, we can look around and see that. We just got to say, make sure I'm not doing that. I have something here. It's there on the back, and I really think they're pretty good. This was in the Christian Standard. On one side, questions to consider if we want to be Christians in our world. Christians in our world. And I'll just read a couple of these, and then the other side, I'll tell you what's there. He says, do I spend more time each day consuming political news or feeding on God's word? When speaking or posting online about politicians or people with whom I politically disagree, are my words full of anger and hatred, or are they always full of grace and seasoned with salt? When attacked personally, when a politician for whom I voted is attacked, and I retaliate verbally, do I retaliate verbally and seek revenge, or do I respond with love and power and move on? And it's some things like that. Thought questions to ask ourselves. How do I respond? Because there are Christian ways and non-Christian ways. Ways Jesus would want us to respond and ways he wouldn't want us to respond. And the other side is a self Self-Check Political Edition says, like one question is, well, it's kind of the same questions, but in a kind of a survey, think it through kind of thing. Anyway, I encourage you to go home, take these home. They're on the back table, and if you don't have, if you're watching and you want to email me, I'll either email one to you or mail one of these to you if you think it would be helpful. I thought they were very good. They were helpful to me. So I'm going to quit there. You know, and I'm going to apologize. I know this wasn't much of a sermon. I could not come up with anything that I thought, that's it. And so I just stood up and talked today. That's the way it goes sometimes. I hope it's helpful. I hope it's helpful. Yeah, pray for me. This is a tough time for all of us. I pray for you. Let's pray for each other, and let's love each other, and let's worship God. And the people who aren't there, give them a ring and say, hey, missed you. Not missed you like you need to be at church, because people have to make their own decisions, but missed you like, missed you. You know? Missed you. God bless. Let's close.